Well, you got some sunshine today, a high just about 43 degrees, a low tonight down to 33. Some rain likely Friday and Saturday, temperatures going up to 53, and then on Saturday, 65. Sunday, a chance of shower, some sunshine, and a high of 48. We're at 30 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Year Bank studios. Next Year Bank, your hometown community bank. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
Now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Bit of a moderating trend in temperature after a really frigid overnight. When I came to work this morning, a little after 5 a.m., it was 16 degrees here in Butler. It was 8 in Grove City, 9 in Eau Claire. Fortunately, not a whole lot of wind. Breeze has picked up a little bit, but so is the temperature. And we're expecting to be in the 40s for at least a while this afternoon, 50s tomorrow, and hold the phone, 65 degrees on Saturday afternoon. It's going to be rainy, but wow. 15 degrees Thursday morning, 65 on Saturday. Hard to believe. We're going to be talking about pro-life issues on the It's Your Turn program today, and I welcome two acquaintances of long standing now, because I've been talking with Michael Harvey and Larry Black for, I don't know, how many years? Many years, huh?
It's between 17 and 20. Might even go a little longer than that.
Yep.
Goes back a ways.
Huh? Yeah, I think 2002 was our first.
Yeah.
Well, it's always interesting to meet with you guys and to discuss pro-life issues, and this is a good time to do it because the annual March for Life is coming up, Larry, in the next couple of weeks, I guess.
Huh? It's going to be Friday, January 24th. It's a few days after the Roe versus Wade anniversary, but the organizers have said, hey, that's a great time to go down to D.C. If you want to spend the weekend down there, you can. You know, it's a long ride back, so you can wake up Saturday and kind of rest in a little bit.
Well, I know there have been groups from Butler, Michael, that have taken buses down year after year, and they kind of do it in one day, right? I mean, you leave well before dawn and get back late at night.
Yep. I think typically we've left at 6 o'clock in the morning and return about 11 o'clock, and it makes for a long day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a great day. It's a great opportunity to register your perspective and opinion on something that transcends an issue to me that transcends just merely a faith issue. You know, there's this issue is more than about a faith issue. I mean, my faith motivates me to be involved in it, mm-hmm. but you know, reality is there's Atheists for Life, there's Feminists for Life, there's all sorts of organizations that recognize the value of life and how really abortion is an assault on on women, and it's an assault on reproductive rights. I think I mentioned before we got online that Susan B. Anthony would be rolling over in her grave because, I mean, she made a statement, and I wish I had the quote, but essentially saying, you know, what a travesty it is that the very thing that sets women apart, the ability to bear and carry life, they take great pride now in murdering.
You're talking about Susan B. Anthony, the suffragette who was one of the campaigners for giving the women the right to vote. Is that?
Yes, yes. Oh. She was very pro-life.
Did not know that.
Yep, very pro-life.
Well, I didn't know her, but I know.
Yeah, I didn't know her either.
I know who she is.
Before your time, a little bit, Dave.
Before all of our time.
Well, you know, this is the anniversary year of that. And it still strikes me as almost impossible to believe that it was 1920 before women were allowed to vote in the United States. You know, here we are calling ourselves the beacon of liberty and so on and so forth. And it was 1920 before we allowed women to vote. What a travesty.
Yeah, we've been a country for, what, 150 years before women had the right to vote.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah.
I suppose there'll be big celebrations for that later on this year because it's 100.
Yeah, I don't know.
1920, 2020, 100 years ago.
Yeah, I tend not to shy away from that kind of stuff, not because I'm not in favor of women. I'm married to one. But I think that it's just stuff like that just further divides. I think I'm better together with my wife than I am apart. And so rather than dividing and polarizing men, women, all sorts of things, even politics, I think we're just better together. And so reality is I need my wife and she needs me.
Wives might have thought a little bit differently in 1919 when they weren't allowed to vote.
Maybe. That's probably true. That's probably true. But they're a majority. Women are a majority in our country.
Mm-hmm. It's true, yeah. Before, and just in case some people will leave us before we wrap up today, I'm assuming that there are buses that are going down to the nation's capital again for the march later this month, Larry?
Dave, there absolutely are. This is going to be, this is just in Butler County, but there's 9 buses and one van throughout Butler County. Leaving on, as Michael mentioned, early on Friday morning of the 24th. And there are still openings, and it would be great if that 65-degree temperature was also the same temperature on, January 24th. Don't guarantee that. But Gretchen Carrere has been doing this for 35, 40 years, and she continues just to be an incredible leader in helping us be organized and be prepared and to continue to have bus captains throughout the county. And, Butler County is well represented. There'll be, approximately, 500 people just from Butler County going down to D.C. for the day. And I'm encouraged by the consistency over the years of how many people continue to be committed. And it does take some energy and time.
Do you get a, because I assume both of you at times at least have gone on this trip.
Sure.
Do you get a cross-section of ages?
You do. And, what I'm always encouraged by is by the number of young people that mm-hmm. that are part of it. And, Michael and I have taken a bus down together, and we focused on taking the younger kids to D.C. One, I think it's a great educational opportunity. Two, it's a great opportunity to learn, to express yourself, to recognize that our government is located in a place that we'll get to see the Supreme Court, the Capitol, and the White House all at the same time, and walk in between all three of those buildings. And I think
what exactly happens when you get there? So you leave 5-6 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. That's going to put you in D.C. by mid morning. It generally mm-hmm. takes about 5 hours to
right.
get down there.
Yeah.
So then what happens after that?
You get dropped off on the what's the name of that?
Washington
mall.
Monument.
You get mm-hmm. dropped off at the mall mm-hmm. Somewhere. They change the location sometimes depending on what's going on.
That stuff is all close yeah. together. The yeah. Washington Monument, yep. the White House, the Capitol, the Lincoln Memorial, they're all right. Might be.
And there's a rally where there's a lot of pro-life speakers, some of the folks who are instrumental in trying to put forth laws to change the course of things are there, and they speak. National Right to Life speakers speak. Oftentimes they will have men and women share their testimonies on how abortion impacted their lives. They've had people who have been victims of abortion but were born alive share their stories, and so it's been rather fascinating. And then you line up and you march Constitution Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it become Pennsylvania at some point? Either way, you march up past the White House, eventually curve around in front of the Supreme Court, and then they usually disperse, and they have the office buildings are open. A lot of the representatives will have cookies and things to eat, like little reception places set aside, and you can engage with some of those folks who are involved in laws and trying to fight this issue from a legal standpoint.
Sometimes our local representatives are busy, sometimes they're not. Mm-hmm. For most folks that are listening to us right now, their local congressman would be either Mike Kelly or Glenn Thompson,
right.
Glenn G.T. Thompson. That's the vast majority of our listeners anyway. Maybe some Connor Lamb.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So are they sometimes... They sometimes stop in and say hello, or
well, they actually have receptions, and you know, Mike Kelly's been a strong supporter of the pro-life issue. I remember being in the Capitol, and Rick Santorum was one of our senators, and you know, had a huge room that Rick opened up for. You know, it's not only the cookies, but at that point, you're sometimes a little cold, so a little
hot chocolate. Not a whole lot of time for lunch either, given the movement and the flow of the day. And so sometimes that little snack, that cookie or whatever, is really good.
Yeah, and I'm impressed that our local legislators put forth such an effort. They share their thoughts. They fully engage in conversation, and I think it encourages them to see the number of people back home that are for them and that. Truly support them in their fight to protect babies.
Yeah.
If people are so inclined, can you still sign up to go on a bus? Or is they all full? Or?
No, there's openings throughout the county. Let me just share it right now. We'll probably share it at the end. But Gretchen Carreri is the person that can put you in contact with the particular bus that makes sense. And Gretchen's number is 724-898-2529, and you can also reach her via her email address, which is G Carreri, Carreri spelled C-A-R-A-R-I-E, at zoominternet.net. And Gretchen's probably one of the leaders in the country in terms of her strong efforts, and a lot of the bus captains, when I look at their names, I say, man, these are folks that have been faithful for decades.
So this march, which is a peaceful march, we might point out, it's not a demonstration type thing, but it's been going on in late January now. Roe versus Wade decision was what, 1973?
Is that
correct?
Right?
Mm-hmm. So it's a long time.
Yeah. Right.
And Roe versus Wade was the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion in the United States. So when the marchers go down there later this month, are they pushing for a reversal of Roe versus Wade, or what are they marching for? Or does it vary from person to person?
Well, I think ultimately if I think if abortion were illegal, we would see a dramatic change in the number of abortions that are performed. In 1993, Poland made abortion illegal, and that the abortion rates plummeted. And so there is a connection between law and how people live their lives.
I'm not fully versed on the history of this, but I think before Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court decision, abortion was legal in some states but not in others. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. I mean, New York was one of those states that it was legal. There was some other states that it was legal. It was up to the states at that point. Mm-hmm. So Roe versus Wade did make it a national law.
They said it's legal everywhere.
Yeah, right. So reversing Roe v. Wade is not going to change the fact that states will still have to make those decisions.
So it would go back to the states again to decide whether or not abortion was going to be legal in their states.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's interesting since the last time that we talked last year is seven states across the country have passed what's called a heartbeat legislation, which just says if the baby's heart is beating, and then it is not lawful to abort the baby. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's an element of irony that at the same time that in those seven states that were passing the heartbeat legislation, New York says it's okay to have an abortion for any reason up until the time that the baby is born. And, you know, 35% of all babies are aborted in New York.
Is that the law in New York now?
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just happened in the last year.
Yep.
I've heard about these heartbeat laws, but most of those are in the southern states, aren't they? Like Mississippi or Alabama or something.
Georgia.
Like that?
Georgia. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Have they been passed in state legislature?
They have been passed. Yes.
Yeah, and they're right now, I mean, they're just. Those won't take effect necessarily, though, unless Roe v. Wade is overturned. They're in effect. Okay.
They're in effect.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought they were provisions if Roe v. Wade. But yeah, I mean, it's funny how we have moved the discussion from life to reproductive rights. You know, it's we need to dehumanize something, and talk about it from a reproductive rights standpoint as opposed to life. That kind of. I think it's important. I think those heartbeat laws are important because that fetus, and you know what? I'm okay with calling it a fetus. You know why? Because in Latin, fetus means young one. It's not this – fetus doesn't mean this just mass of amorphous tissue. It's a human being. There's human DNA in there. That it's a byproduct of human beings coming together. That's a human, regardless of how you slice that picture. But life is important, you know. It's and if we can determine who was the Chief Justice when Roe v. Wade was passed, Blackmun,
I believe it was. Yes,
he made a statement in his one of his articles that. We've made this decision now, and if at some point we should determine when life begins, we might have a completely different discussion. That's gone, though, because the narrative has been changed. The narrative has been changed to reproductive rights, and so I think it's important to focus on what's real here, and that's why I think these laws are important, but the heartbeat laws.
We'll take a break talking about pro-life issues, and we'll discuss it from a number of different angles, we hope to at least, with our guests here on this segment of It's Your Turn. We certainly don't think we're going to end the discussion on this because it's an issue that is really quite polarizing, and especially in some parts of the country, but it's good to talk about it. So we'll take a break and be back to chat more with Michael and Larry here on It's Your Turn on WISR, Thursday edition. Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Escape the hustle and bustle and enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Michael's Restaurant. Meet at Michael's for a get-together with family and friends or on your way to or from the light show. And don't forget, every Friday night is prime rib night. Need a quick gift? Michael's Restaurant gift cards also make great stocking stuffers.
A special message at Christmas and holiday time from the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. They would not only like to wish you and yours a very, very merry and holy Christmas and a happy new year, but also to say thanks. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of those who have supported them in their efforts during the past year. Thanks to those of you who donated to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store. To those of you who patronized the thrift store. All the proceeds there go to help fund the food cupboard and the client aid program. And thanks to those of you who donated provisions to the food cupboard throughout the year. And thanks to those of you, too, who donated extra produce from your garden during the harvest season to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul food cupboard. Thank you so much. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you and yours from the Society of St. Vincent de Paul in Butler. Welcome back, friends. Pro-life issues on the agenda for discussion today. And I'm not sure what happened to this bill. Former State Senator Don White, and he's retired now.
Right.
But last year, he introduced legislation in Harrisburg that would make pregnant women who knowingly and willingly use illegal drugs accountable for the damage that occurs to unborn children. And this was in the wake of, it was actually a court case here locally in Butler County where it was eventually tossed out because of what Senator White called a loophole in the law. I don't know whether that ever advanced in the state legislature or not. I don't think it did.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've got an update on other things, but that one I'm not totally sure of on that one, Dave.
There's another case that's still in litigation in Allegheny County right now. It's not the taking of drugs by a pregnant woman, but it's a pregnant woman who was shot. It was in the Wilkinsburg area. It's going to trial right now. It happened a few years back. But, you know, whether or not they could charge the suspects with murder for the death of the unborn child. And there was some controversy over that. I don't know how that's going to work out either. But that's they're selecting a jury for that case right now in Allegheny County.
In other Pennsylvania cases, they have accused the shooter of killing two people.
Yeah. Well, in Indiana, there was just a recent case where a teenager was convicted and sentenced to 65 years because he murdered his girlfriend who was carrying his child. And so it's Larry's right. When you kill someone who's pregnant, you're charged for two murders.
But this would vary from state to state, I guess. In Pennsylvania, obviously, you haven't been able to do that. When district attorneys have attempted to do it, they've been overruled.
You know, what's interesting is it's sometimes how the case is framed. Mm-hmm. When 9/11 happened at the World Trade Center, and I was at the World Trade Center 3 years ago, and there some of the people that were killed, 11 of them were babies that were in their mother's wombs that are recognized as being part of the 3,000 people that were killed at the World Trade Center on 9/11.
I never heard that before.
Yeah, and yeah.
Well, a lot of people died, so it's logical to assume that some were pregnant women, I guess.
But is it ironic that the same state that allows abortion up until the day the baby's born would also recognize 11 babies that were never born and never.
Let me pose this question to you, and again, just for the sake of discussion, which, as you guys know, that's what we like to do.
That's why we love coming here.
What if we put this issue to a vote? What if there were a referendum question here in Pennsylvania? Should abortion be legal or illegal? What do you think would happen? Or what would you think about that idea? Because, you know, this has been a controversial and polarizing issue for, 30, 40 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So what if it should be put to a referendum question? Think that would be a good idea or not?
I'm open to it. So if we look at it from a national basis, I would tell you most of the South would be very pro-life. They already are. They've got a number of laws, whether it's relating to the baby's heartbeat or to having hospitals that are close to abortion clinics or helping women make informed decisions. So, you know, there's a strong element of that. There's certain states, probably New York, California, New Jersey, Maryland, that would probably be very pro-abortion. Pennsylvania would be interesting.
It would be.
When I travel, the northern part and the central part of Pennsylvania is very pro-life. Pittsburgh is becoming more pro-life. Philadelphia is very pro-abortion. And when I see, particularly during election years, different candidates come on the TV for their ads, I'm fascinated by how in Philadelphia that they're willing to claim themselves as pro-abortion.
Interesting, nationally, statistically, 48% of Americans identify themselves as pro-life, 48%, 45% pro-choice. Here's the rub with that statistic, though. even though people claim to be pro-life, they would stop. They would say, okay, I'm pro-life, but I'm not going to force somebody else to be pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
So they would say I'm pro-life. 48% say they are, but they're not going to legislate that decision for other people. So that I think that's why that's a hard. It's not cut and dry.
Well, to begin with, it was kind of a rhetorical question that I was asking about making it a referendum because the first thing that would have to happen would be that Roe versus Wade would be overturned because. As it stands right now, the Supreme Court has ruled that abortion is legal everywhere in the United States. And even if it were overturned, it would go back to state legislatures to decide whether or not it was going to be illegal. So it would be decided in Harrisburg. But I was talking about not state lawmakers deciding, but making it a referendum question for the people. You know, just like a referendum question appears on the ballot. You know, should we allow alcoholic beverages in whatever, Slippery Rock?
Sure.
You know, make it a referendum question. And the reason I think that's intriguing is that there are countries that have done that recently. Now, you talked about Poland, Michael, and I did not. I'm not familiar with the
in 1993. That was 1993. I don't know what has happened since 1993. I know that a lot of those EU countries have reversed. I mean, I think Ireland
just had a, and this is just within the past 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
they had a national referendum, yes or no,
right?
And it was very polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were, you'd go through towns and there were signs, banners hanging from telephone poles, you know, one way or another. And because abortion had been outlawed in Ireland, it was against the Constitution, but that was thrown out.
Right.
The national referendum legalized abortion in Ireland.
Right. Yeah, but that didn't happen. That didn't take very long, because I think when was abortion made illegal in Ireland? It wasn't that long ago, and you know, so the tide of public opinion changed very quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that would happen here too.
So let me. I love your style because I think questions help open up things. So here's something I was reading recently, and it's a question. But if two women become pregnant on the same day, and 6 months later, one lady has a premature baby, and the other one still has the baby in the womb. But 1 week later, they both decide that they don't want the baby. Why should one woman be allowed to kill the baby and the other one not?
So in one case, it would be, to use the legal terms, it would be an abortion. The other case would be infanticide.
Right. But the babies are the same. They're the same age. They're the same development. They're the same size. Same environment. Well, no, I'm sorry, a different environment. Everything else is the same.
That is a thought-provoking question.
Yeah.
But you mentioned, if you're tuning in late here, folks, we're discussing pro-life issues. Michael Harvey, Larry Black with us. You mentioned that several states, six, I think you said, have passed so-called heartbeat laws.
Seven.
Mm-hmm. So that whenever a fetal heartbeat is determined, then abortion is not allowed after that.
That's correct.
I'm not a doctor. Do you have any idea when that happens?
Yeah.
How long must a pregnancy be along before there's a heartbeat?
So it's usually 18 to 25 days.
18 to 25 days?
Days, yeah.
Yeah.
Days?
Yeah. So
I was going to say like, 2 or 3 months.
No, it's quick. It's, you know, we consider the fact, and Larry's going to talk some more about this, but consider the fact that before a baby is born in 9 months, their cells have gone through 41 stages of generation, and a human being only goes through 45 their entire life. So they've had the vast majority of their changes in growth takes place in that 9 month period of time. It's just fascinating to me.
And, you know, with today's education, with 4D technology, things like that, I mean, we know a whole lot more about what babies look like in their mother's womb than anybody did back in 1973. But when Michael and I would take buses to D.C., we would always hand out a baby that had been in their mother's womb for 3 months. So 12-week-old baby.
Like a photograph or some picture?
Actually, no, it was actually a
plastic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Model. So it fit in the palm of our hand.
About the size of your thumb.
Yeah. But you didn't have any question that it was a baby. It was just a small baby. It fit in the palm of your hand. But here's the other interesting thing is the heartbeat is 18 to 25 days. Brain waves are 40 days. At 12 weeks, it can squint, it can swallow, it can make a fist. It has fingerprints, it can kick. It's sensitive to heat, to light, to touch, noise. It sucks its thumb. Probably weighs about an ounce to 2.5 ounces and about 3 inches long.
There's brain activity.
Activity.
Because you've got rapid eye movements at 23 weeks, so there's brain activity going on.
Yeah. And so to throw out another question is, we have certain parameters when we determine that when somebody is legally dead. So what are the parameters that we should use to determine when somebody is officially alive?
Lack of brain waves, right?
Brain waves or heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would be the two that I would go with that I think are, that those from a medical perspective would say, yeah, that's a two on the death side. So why don't we use the same parameters for life?
Right. And I think that's the genesis behind these heartbeat laws.
Yes.
I've heard other discussions. I've read. I'm not sure. I guess I read it somewhere. Other thoughts that have been put forth about when life begins. A heartbeat would, for many people, seem to be logical. I've heard others say that it would be, and this is not a medical term, but it's referred to as the quickening.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time that a baby in the womb moves.
That's right, yeah.
Quickening. And I've also read recently about trying to determine the first time that an unborn baby can feel pain, which is thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea when that happens, but
I think it's around 60 days when it's 60 days in the mother's womb. Yeah,
but regardless, though, I mean, to me, biology is pretty clear that at conception, whatever you want to call it, zygote, whatever, embryo, fetus.
You're taking me back to my biology class here.
It's
zygote. I haven't heard that word in ages.
It's still a life. You know, maybe the other discussion is, okay, maybe a life, and biology, I can't deny that it's a life, but as a person, I would say the DNA issue makes it a person, a human DNA. I mean, it's not like it's... it's not some other DNA that just surprisingly appeared. It's human DNA. It's its own DNA. It's completely separate. Yeah, and it's depending upon the mother to stay alive for a significant portion of those 9 months. But to me, that is not the fact that it's dependent upon the mother isn't an argument from my perspective.
So when the DNA is joined, in your opinion, when you got the father's DNA and the mother's DNA, then that is
a unique individual. That's a unique life, completely separate from mom and dad.
Yeah, and just to further take that to the next step, I mean, sometimes what we hear from those on the other side of this conversation is a woman might say, it's my body. Well, it probably has a 50% chance of being a different sex. It definitely has a different DNA, definitely has different fingerprints, different immune system, its own brain, its own head. Doesn't sound like it's the same as her own body.
We're kicking around to pro-life issues here on the It's Your Turn program today. We must take a break. We will do that and return to chat more with our guests here on the Thursday already. Got another weekend coming up. You realize we come out of this weekend, it's almost halfway through January already.
It's going quick.
Yeah, that's fine with me. January and February. I could go right from Christmas to March, and that would be fine with me. And we'll take a break. Back to chat more with our guests right after these words.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Do you want to save on electricity but have limited time and money? Here are a few easy steps to greater energy efficiency. Plus, these efforts will help whether you own or rent. Place weather stripping and caulking around windows and doors. Seal gaps around piping, dryer vents, fans, and outlets. Insulate overlooked spaces like your attic's hatch. Upgrade all of your light bulbs to LED. Check, change, and clean your HVAC filters regularly. Consider purchasing a programmable thermostat. Don't overuse electric space heaters. They can be a costly heat source. For additional ways to save, visit www.central.coop. This is Laura Hensley for Central Electric Cooperative. Our tradition is to service, our responsibility is to safety. This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
You've been so busy getting ready for the holidays that you totally forgot to get your vehicle ready for the winter. No worries. West End Tire and Service kept their snow tire inventory up, but don't wait too long as they're harder to come by later in the season. West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great service, installation, and staff as Siemens provided for years. Their trained technicians will check your air pressure and do tire evaluations for free. Anytime. Stop in and see what's new and be sure to visit them on Facebook. West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street next to Battery Warehouse Plus Butler.
Welcome back, friends. We're talking about pro-life issues on the program today. Our guests, if you're joining us a little bit late, Larry Black, Michael Harvey are here, and they're here at this time because the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. is coming up in within the next couple of weeks. What's the date again, Larry?
January 24th. It's a Friday, which is a great time to go.
Yeah.
So they do this whatever day of the week it is. It's just they do it on the...
Well, they've started moving towards doing the same week as the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, but doing it on a Friday, which I always loved it when it was on a Friday. Getting up early the next day when it was a Wednesday or Thursday, the morning came quick.
Yeah, and I'm not sure when they made that change, but historically it had been the day. You know, they tried to get the day as much as possible, but the past couple of years they've been moving towards the closest, I think the Friday, just either right after it or right before it, whenever it falls. But it does open up a lot of opportunities for families who want to go.
Yeah.
A lot of things to see in D.C.
When I'm talking about or discussing or debating pro-life issues, I always have to bring up capital punishment. Because it seems to me that if you're going to be pro-life discussing unborn babies, then you're going to have to look at the other end of life as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, capital punishment. Is it ethically and morally wrong to electrocute somebody or, you know, give them a lethal injection?
Let me just throw out one thing. I think Michael's got some thoughts that I think are pretty captivating. But, you know, a mile away from here, Robert Bowers, who killed 11 people in a synagogue a year ago, is that's where he presently is at. When you take the lives of 11 innocent people, and it is 100% accurate that he was the one that did it, should one of the potential punishments be the death penalty? What I don't want to see is any death penalty for a person that is or could be innocent. So, Dave, I love the fact that you bring this up, because this has challenged, you know, both Michael and I over the years, and you've caused us to have to think, do a little homework, and go back and forth and understand our position.
There have been cases, and in fact, there are numerous cases now, where there's some organization, I can't remember the name of it, but they utilize new DNA techniques, mm-hmm. and there are people who have been on death row for mm-hmm. 10, 15, 20 years, longer than that, and they're acquitted through the use of new DNA testing that was not available whenever they were sentenced to death.
Yeah.
And, you know, you say, gosh, what if they'd been executed?
That's right.
Yeah. And you find out 20 years later that they were innocent, guaranteed innocent. We got DNA evidence here that proves that they didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say? I'm sorry. I'm sorry we killed you.
Well, I think my personal perspective is that it's not inconsistent for me to be pro-life and pro-death penalty. One is, I think they're apples and oranges. That's my own perspective. It's an apples and oranges
issue. Well, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, sure.
But I'm very much in favor of cases where it's undeniable, where it's incontrovertible that this person is guilty. Obviously, there is the human factor in everything. People make mistakes. The law is not perfect. Judicial system's not perfect. But when it's undeniable, I don't know why. I mean, my personal perspective is, we don't have the right to take the life of another person. And again, let's not talk about the baby in the womb. We're just talking about people who are alive. I don't have the right. That's not my authority to take the life of that person. I think it's only fitting that if I take the life of a person that I don't have the right to, I should forfeit my life as the only just response to taking a person's life who I don't have the authority to take their life. To me, that's justice. That's the only just response. Is capital punishment, is capital punishment a moral equivalent to abortion? Let me throw this statistic out: 28,000 children have been aborted to one person who is killed through capital punishment. Are they equal? Are those moral issues equal? One person's killed under capital punishment compared to 28,000 babies that are killed. 1 to 28,000, that's a disproportionate, it's disproportionate to me. And so to me, it's not a moral equivalent.
Still taking a life, though, you know? It's a person mm-hmm. with a heartbeat,
mm-hmm.
person who feels pain.
It is, but it's a person, again, from my perspective, who has forfeited the right to life because they chose to take life into their own hands.
So, Dave, why do you believe that capital punishment is wrong?
Well, to me, it's pro-life is a seamless issue.
Okay.
From the beginning of life to the end of life.
Yeah. And but I can respect that.
But to not bring about justice on a person who takes the life of another person, that devalues life.
Well, but it's not, you know, if you're talking about, say, hypothetically a murderer, or even a mass murderer, by killing that person, you're not going to bring back any of the people that he killed.
No, you're not. But again, it devalues life to me, because life somehow becomes less important if a person can just do that and only face life in prison.
You explain your position very well. Yeah. And that's a position that a lot of people hold, by the way, too.
So who is the gentleman that just got the sentence this week? Keith Lampling? Is that his correct name? The one that killed the 4-year-old boy?
Yeah, I think so.
So his sentence is 30 to 60 years in jail. Part of me says that's pretty inhumane, too, to recognize that he's 24 years old and he will spend certainly the major part of his life, if not his whole life, in jail. And so, you know, there's an element of punishment. And what is the right kind of punishment for a crime?
Questions to ponder.
Yeah.
We must take another break. We'll be back to talk more with our guests here on It's Your Turn on WISR on this Thursday. Thursday, January 9th already.
Mm.
Wow. Seems like I was just getting ready for Christmas. Not all that long ago. We'll be back after these words.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
The winter weather is quickly approaching. That means stopping at Osterling's Lawn and Garden should be at the top of your to-do list. Stock up on rock salt, snow shovels, and PetSafe snow melter to ensure that you are ready for those freezing cold weeks. Osterling's even has great pet items like grain-free dog biscuits, PetSafe dog harnesses and collars, indoor pet gates, and 40-pound bags of dog food. For everything you'll need this winter, find it at Osterling's Lawn and Garden.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a best doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Welcome back. Our guests are Larry Black, Michael Harvey with us here on the It's Your Turn program today. We're discussing pro-life issues in light of the annual March for Life that's coming up later this month in Washington, D.C. I've heard of some abortion restrictions that make exceptions for rape or incest. And this is always a bit of a conundrum for me. How can you have an exception if all the things that we've talked about already today, how can you have exceptions under those circumstances? Anybody have any thoughts on that?
So this is one of the more difficult aspects of the pro-life discussion. One of the ways that I would go on this issue is that happens approximately 1.5% of the time. And so would I be willing to say, can we save 98.5% of all babies being aborted, except in the cases of incest, rape, or life of the mother. Not all decisions are perfect, but I would be willing to consider that. The second thing is they've often had discussions with mothers women who have been raped and then had an abortion. And they said, being raped was not my choice. But having an abortion was my choice, and that has been the harder part to live with. And by making that comment, I do not want to in any way say that rape is a positive experience. It's not. It's a horrible experience, and those people that do that should have the most severe consequences put on them. But that would be part of the discussion that I would have.
I guess the other half of that I would throw in there is that in one large scale study, and this was I don't know who did this study. I wish I had the name of the study. It was probably Guttmacher Institute, who does a lot of that. 70% of women who conceived through rape chose to give birth to that baby, and the argumentation and their rationale was, I've been the victim of this violent crime. Why should there be a second victim of this violent crime? And so they chose to give birth to this child. And so I think that you don't often hear that 70% of women who are victims of rape choose to give birth to those children. And they also recognize the tremendous healing that takes place when they do.
Well, that would be a woman's choice, and, you know, pro-choice advocates would come right back at you and say, well, that's our whole point, you know. It's a woman's body. It should be a woman's choice whether she wants to carry a pregnancy to term or not.
So here's where I'll come on that. If choice is really important to women, then why aren't there more choices given to women as opposed to just abortion? What about carrying the baby and giving it up for adoption? What about looking at alternatives that can also be considered? In those cases, there are many, many good organizations that want to come alongside and help that women. And this statistic always blows my mind, but 85% of the women that have abortion do it because of pressure of their boyfriend, their husband, their parents, or their friends. So is it really a choice?
Thought-provoking. What about avoiding unwanted pregnancies? Do we need to devote more money and education toward birth control and sex education for young people?
Well,
I mean, that would solve the whole problem right there. If you could eliminate unwanted pregnancies, right?
No, because we have contraception has been a big issue. I mean, I can't watch a television show and I can't watch TV in one day and not see 5 to 10 ads for contraception. It hasn't slowed that. In fact, I think sometimes, first of all, the pill is not foolproof. There's no contraceptive method that's foolproof. I think it also creates an environment in which, let's make sex safe. It hasn't become safer. There's been I think people's attitudes towards sex has become much more cavalier. And my fear is that when you push that whole contraception agenda, the issue of abortion becomes cavalier too. You know what? I didn't plan this pregnancy. It's just easier for me to go and end it. So I don't think contraception has fixed it. I think contraception has just made it more convoluted. I think it's not made things safer.
Back in 1973, when this issue was being debated, I remember the conversations. And if we were going to make abortion legal, it was going to eliminate welfare. It was going to eliminate child abuse. It was going to eliminate homelessness. It was going to eliminate teenage pregnancy, and it was going to eliminate poverty. So which of those issues have been eliminated since Roe versus Wade? The answer is none.
No.
I'm not up to date on the latest agenda for the Supreme Court. This would have to be brought up from an appeal, right? From an appellate court in one of the states before the Supreme Court could look at this. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. And there's cases each year that, you know, they might not always make it, but certainly one of the more famous ones was, Robert Casey making it to the Supreme Court, which just kind of confirms some things. So there's, you know, it's not going to be surprising if some of these laws that have been passed for the heartbeat legislation, you know, get challenged by the Supreme Court. And, the good news is over the last couple of years, there's been some really good Supreme Court justices added, and there's been a number of other justices or judges added that appear to judge cases based upon what is law and not what the latest trends are.
The number of abortions in the United States has been declining, though, mm-hmm. hasn't it? I mean, yeah. Significantly, I believe.
Well, yeah. Still hovering around 1 million.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be around 1.5 million, but so let me throw this number out to you, Dave. Since Roe versus Wade, there's been 60 million abortions. That is 20% of the U.S. population. So if we eliminated 20% of our present U.S. population, that would eliminate Pennsylvania without any problems, and a bunch of whole other states. But 60 million, you know, babies have died since 1973.
40% of those African Americans.
Right, and that's another issue that, you know, the population is 12% African American, and it's somewhere between 35 to 40% of the babies that are killed through abortion are African American. The statistics communicate that there could be some evidence that there's some, you know, some racial prejudice built in.
We'll take a final break and recap our discussion here of the past while with our guests, Larry and Michael here on It's Your Turn on WRSR. We'll be back to wrap up right after this.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Are you 65 years of age? Did you know you are eligible to ride free transportation? That's right, free transportation. Sign up for your free transit pass at Butler Transit Authority's downtown bus terminal on West Newcastle Street. Ride the local Butler buses to shopping, destinations, medical appointments, and more. Feeling more adventurous? Take the bus to Pittsburgh. Shop, dine, and explore all that Pittsburgh has to offer. Visit our bus terminal or butlertransit.com for more information.
Time has sped by, as it usually does. Larry Black, you wanted to maybe recap that phone number for people who might be so inclined to go on one of the buses headed to D.C. later this month?
You bet, Dave. So there's 9 buses, 1 van. I'm really impressed with North Catholic High School taking 3 buses this year. What a commitment. But there's buses from Cranberry, from Herman, from Cabot, from Butler City. And I predict that January 24th is going to be a warm day, and it'll be a great day to go to D.C., to take your family, to allow your kids to go on one of these buses. And if you're looking for the right bus, Gretchen Curry at 724-898-2529 is a great person to help you out and navigate that.
They leave from different places around?
They do, yeah. So, yeah, depending upon what part of Butler County you live in, you know, there's all kinds of different places that you can leave. And no matter where you leave in Butler County, it will be an early morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll probably be a late night, but it'll be a memory.
You two gentlemen always give us a lot of food for thought and discussion, so nice to have you here again.
Yeah, well, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for challenging us in our thinking, too.
Well, you know, I think we all need to be challenged in our thinking every once in a while in a rational way where we just, you know, discuss things without shaking our fists or screaming at each other.
Yeah, emotional issues are charged, aren't they? They really are, and it's this is an emotional issue.
But it's fun to be able to talk about this issue in a rational, logical way, and to be able to engage. I find it refreshing.
Larry Black, Michael Harvey visiting with us on the It's Your Turn program today. I'm Dave Malarkey. Thanks for being with us. Enjoy the rest of your day as things moderate in terms of temperature, but the real warmth comes tomorrow and Saturday. Unfortunately, probably going to be rain showers too, but hey, we get up into the 60s in the middle of January. I don't want to hear anybody complaining about that. That's for sure. All righty. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 12:30 on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com.
Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Kisses will stop.